It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We turn to a Wisconsin voice in fashion trend forecasting, the process of identifying new trends and how they'll shape the ever-changing fashion industry. So as we discuss trend reports and what they say about the items that you wear, call in with a question. You can share your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kristen Schmidt is on the faculty of Odessa School of Fashion in Milwaukee, will teach fashion forecasting in the spring, and is back in Wisconsin after years in New York City working with labels like Todd Snyder, Banana Republic, and Ralph Lauren. Kristen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Take us on a bit of a tour of your style predictions for 2024. What's in store? What are some themes?
Well, trend forecasting itself like follows three things, right? Like it has a curve like everything else. There's a rise, there's a peak, and there's a fall. So an example right now is low-rise jeans seem to be coming back in. So they're on the rise. Get it? Pun intended. And but I wouldn't necessarily say that high-rise jeans are out. It seems like they're holding steady at this point, but they might be just at that top of the curve and starting to go down. But what I'm seeing for next year to cover color and silhouette and technology, it looks like brown is our color of the season, and big shoulders and attitude are coming in. So what that means is brown is a color that everybody loves and is really comfortable with right now. It is not being lauded as Pantone's color of the year, but it is a comforting color. It's also a neutral. It works really well with bright colors, etc. And as for the big shoulders, I think we're coming into, is that a bit of a vintage 80s thing, but is it also like a confidence and a boldness of leaving the house after the pandemic? And what I've been reading is that attitude is going to be a strong thing for 2024. And they have used the word rage, and I hope that does not show up. I hope that is wrong.
Oh, wow. How would that translate on the runway?
I think what that means is more punk, you know, leaning toward maybe more asymmetrical and harder silhouettes, like, as I said, like the big shoulders, and maybe we have more piercings and the mixed of plaids, etc.
What do you make of this optimism for brown and this attraction to brown? What's going on there?
I mean, I personally feel ready for it. Like starting last year, I was looking at brown things in my wardrobe and wanting to wear them. As far as how that happens in a global trend, I think it's, you know, it's cyclical. And to be fair, every color is on trend all the time. It's just there's always a variation within that. Like brown a couple of years ago was trending in a camel version. And now the darker brown is what people are leaning toward. It's kind of like an acid green would reflect your 80s green. But right now, green is big in olives and in your pines and even like the mossier colors.
I think it's interesting you point out those distinctions. And it leads us to wonder, can style predictions be localized to different regions, perhaps different regions of the world or different regions of the U.S.? How does that work?
Well, trend forecasting comes from the big fashion cities, right? Like Paris, Milan,
London,
and
New York.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that fashion brands are designing just for those people, right? Like the fashion brands are designing for us. They're designing for Wisconsin. And when I'm on a design team or a concept team or a product development team, I've been on all three parts of those, we talk about hot stores. So those would be the stores in the South that we're designing for. But Wisconsin is the same latitude as New York, right? So everything we design is for this same climate. An example would be you design for northern climate, and let's say we have a cashmere cable sweater. Miami is not going to do very well with that, even in February. And so we would sell perhaps a lighter weight version of it with short sleeves. But translating it to locations, there's a lot of data that we get from our customers. Like if Banana Republic puts a red skirt in the store at Bayshore and it sells off, and the blue sits there until it goes to markdown, Banana will punish you and there will be no blue skirts next year.
Oh my goodness. It makes me wonder, what happens to designers and labels when their forecasts are off? Like what their when their collection for fall or summer just misses the mark.
I think that's so detrimental to most brands because runway is very different than what you will see in the store. Runway, if it's off, it doesn't matter. You get a bad review, move on. And I mean, it matters, but what's in the store is always going to be analyzed by a ton of data. Like the first thing that a company is going to do is analyze the consumer data, right? There is no such thing as a trend without a customer. And so we would analyze this size range sells best here, and this location doesn't like patterns on their shirts. They prefer solids. And we know all of that data through the sales marks at each register by zip code. And that's kept in mind for the year of design.
Talking fashion trends with Kristen Schmidt, fashion forecasting instructor at Odessa School of Fashion in Milwaukee. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Kristen, with all of this data, can we talk about artificial intelligence in fashion forecasting? How some AI models are used to analyze the latest designs to find patterns and style and color. What do you see with AI? Do you use AI as a tool in your work?
I do not. No, I don't use that at all. Like so far, the companies that I freelance with and work with, we use the traditional trend service houses, not because we're not early adapters, but because perhaps those trend services are not necessarily using that yet.
And when
We
you
use
say
online.
trend service houses, what do you mean by that?
There are companies whose sole job is to analyze trends. And these geniuses take a big worldview, right? Like they look at politics and military actions and attitudes and climate and big things that are going on in the world and oil prices. And they will put forward a prediction of the trends, starting with color and perhaps weeding down to silhouette. So a trend service house they'll set up a report based on their inspirations that they're seeing that are trending in the world. Like maybe ceramic art has become a thing that most museums are showing instead of oil paintings. And then that will show up in that report. And a brand will take that down and translate it to how it applies to each customer.
Wow. And so you take that kind of information to inform where you take garments and colors and collections. Do you see, though, AI as part of the future of fashion forecasting?
I would assume so. Yeah. I mean, it seems inevitable that AI is literally going to take over much of what we do. I could see it functioning very well, like the ability to quickly analyze mega data and filter that into micro data.
Kristen Schmidt, fashion forecasting instructor at Odessa School of Fashion in Milwaukee, with us, has insights on the fashion industry and what Wisconsinites will like to wear now and in the future. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the work of interpreting and curating fashion trends well into the future and how those trends speak to what we pull out of our closets here in Wisconsin. As we discuss fashion forecasting, call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Kristen Schmidt, forecasting instructor at Odessa School of Fashion in Milwaukee. Kristen, twice a year, cities across the world host runway shows for Fashion Week. How do trends in fashion-focused cities like Paris and London and Milan make their way into Midwest fashion?
Well, in the advent of social media and online shopping and the internet, which obviously is not a new thing anymore, but it's not like other cities are in a black hole anymore. Like, everything is available at our fingertips. Right now we're seeing this trend of all these nude dresses, right? Like, literally sheer dresses where you are seeing breasts and butts and everything. And it's arguably beautiful on a celebrity on the runway, right? That's inappropriate, perhaps, for a brand like Ann Taylor, but a way that you could scratch that itch for the customer is to make a version of it with a filmy fabric, little see-through, but have a full lining underneath so there is full coverage with the appearance of being sheer. Like, that's how those things can translate down. Mm-hmm. But as for Wisconsin specifically, I've been working in New York, but remote from Wisconsin the last couple of years. And the last few years, I've been working with Todd Snyder, and he is the reigning king of collaborations. And when I first came on board, there was a launch of a collaboration with our very own Harley Davidson in Milwaukee.
Ah.
There's a global view, but then there's also that local view, like being able to pull a cool brand like Harley Davidson into a collaboration was really huge. And Milwaukee obviously was already on the map, but it made it even more so.
What influence did Harley have, though, on the designing of Todd Snyder? Like, how do those two intersect?
So the Harley team would pull from the archive. I wasn't part of this collaboration, mm-hmm. but the Harley team would pull from the archives and work closely with the Todd Snyder team on what they want. When there's a collaboration like that, it has to be legally approved and aesthetically approved on both ends. And it's just about putting the best foot forward of what the concept is. And they chose to do some vintage logos and vintage embroidery. And a lot of it was like knits and sweatshirts and stuff, but there was like a fantastic coverall
look. Yeah. Does Wisconsin have a distinct style? Does anything stand out here?
It's a good question. I think we are really good at two things that are trending right now. Like, puffers are a huge trend, right? So we need to be taking advantage of that and dressing for the season. When it's cold outside, don't wear your mini skirt and little nylons. Please wear a puffer. And right now the puffer is out in asymmetry, giant shapes, super voluminous. Like, that's a thing that I've seen walking down the streets of Milwaukee now that it's getting a little colder. And also a big trend right now is visible mending. And the Midwest, we are the land of crafting. I think this is something we're really good at and an early adopter. So visible mending is the pride of keeping a garment with a tear and stitching with contrast stitch or putting a patch on it, something overt that shows that you are recycling or upcycling or remaking your own garment.
Oh, that's fascinating. My kids, they returned from a weekend in Chicago and said that people that they saw there on the streets, and you talked about walking on the streets of Milwaukee, I mean, as they walked on the streets in Chicago, they said, "Mom, they dress differently there than what they see here in Madison." And I'm just wondering, now that we're talking, is there anything to that?
Probably. I mean, you dress like your friends, right? Like, mm-hmm. at some point, you look like your friends. We use the same hairdressers. We do the same shopping. We trade clothes. So I think that makes sense that even within smaller locations, just 100 miles apart, that you would see different things. Yes.
And incidentally, they said they saw lots of jeans and lots of people wearing black clothes.
That's always in trend. That's beautiful. Okay, yeah.
Well, let's take a call now. Jane is here in New York. Jane, hi.
Hi,
Jane. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Kristen. I have a question for you.
Hi, Jane.
How do you predict local cultural influences will shape fashion trends in Wisconsin over the next year?
So local cultural influences and the impact on fashion trends in Wisconsin.
That's a hard one to answer. Well, I think, I mean, globally, we have a couple things coming on, right? Like we have the Olympics coming up. And so locally, I definitely expect to see that influence us. I mean, Wisconsin's such a big Packers state and Brewers state and athletic state. And I think we're going to be all over that trend, like adding some athletic wear and promoting the U.S. team.
Kristen Schmidt with us, fashion forecasting instructor at Odessa School of Fashion in Milwaukee, taking us through the crystal ball a bit in fashion. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Kristen, you mentioned the sporting world, and we need to have a heart-to-heart about athleisure. And this hits close to home as I look down at my leggings right now. So will athleisure as a style keep going strong in 2024?
I think once people got comfortable in their leggings and sweatpants, that it's going to be very hard to tear away from that. So the overarching trend that we call that is cozy. So where we were in the house and allowed to wear sweatpants or whatever you wanted from your waist down while we were Zooming, I think now that we're outside, it's looking more like elastic waist trousers. So you could have a pair of dress pants that have a drawstring or an elastic waist, something comfortable. And that's fabrics with stretch, things that allow more movement.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I see that.
you're like, I'm keeping my leggings.
I'm keeping my leg. Yes, and also wondering at the same time, is Lululemon considered luxury, and why are its leggings so expensive?
Oh.
Asking for a friend.
Well, oh boy. Talking about expense in garments, it's so difficult without knowing the inner structure of like a company's specific IMU goals and the prices of their fabrics. I personally don't have Lululemon leggings, so I couldn't even really analyze that for you. But in general, that is going to be about the volume of your buy. If you buy 1,000 pieces across 4 colors, it's going to be less expensive than buying 20 pieces in one color because of minimums and the way the factories are set up and run. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that they have proprietary fabrics with innovative stretch, et cetera, that may just cost more.
Okay. Well, I understand if it's not leggings, sweaters are, you know, kind of your sweet spot here. So based on your experience with sweaters, what are the best sweater materials for living in Wisconsin?
Ooh. Well, merino wool is a fantastic fiber. Because if it's fine enough, if you have extra fine merino wool, it will not be itchy because the staple length or that length of the fiber that comes off of the sheep is longer. And the amazing thing about wool is if you wear a wool garment, wool socks even, and lay it out overnight after a day of wear, it will refresh itself overnight. It does not need to be laundered regularly. It does not need to be dry cleaned regularly. It is sort of a naturally antimicrobial thing. I'm always going to push cashmere because it is so lovely and so soft and really has no itch factor. There's tricks with cashmere though. A lot of the lofty and soft ones that you feel in the store are knit on a looser tension and they could pill. And it's just something that you learn through practice. But
Really quickly here, because we're almost out of time, what is best to wear under sweaters?
Oh, tank top.
Okay. We can go for that. Oh, well, Kristen, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Kristen Schmidt is on the faculty of Odessa School of Fashion in Milwaukee. And if you missed any part of this conversation or wish to hear other conversations, we have got a great place to visit. Go to our program page at wpr.org/mornings. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here on the Ideas Network.